Blog Talk Radio. strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand the trial. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahuwah's Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah's Radio, Yahuwah's Ministry. I'll be your host. My name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries, part number 134, Tried Yada. YHDH. That's a tribe that the one that's called himself Black African American Negroes, that's where they from. But you got the same group of Judah in South and West Africa. But the Judah that's going to unraveling the mysteries of the Bible will come out of Northwest America. That Judah will be the one that's going to unlock and activate Judah from the four corners of the globe. But the top Judah will be coming out of America. And that's the way prophecy look. So, you know, they talked about could any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's what they said. Could any good thing come out of Nazareth? We don't know. But we found out some did good come out of Nazareth. And that was the one that was called Yahuwah the Son. He came out of Nazareth. So good things do come out of the lowest point. Because long we waiting on some white steed horse to swoop down and gather us together, it ain't going to happen that way. The way you think it's going to happen, it's not going to happen. But we'll show you in the Bible how it's going to happen. So what we're going to do, we're going to go see and find our elder. And we'll bring our elder in and we'll tell y'all about the broadcast, and then we'll find out who will be on stage for take number 134. And what the memo is saying, Elder will be a few minutes late here. Okay, well, Elder will be a few minutes late, so we'll go and find that, well, we're ready to go. One thing about it, Steve Roy, is about next man, next woman up, who ready to go? That's it. Who ready to go? Let's even find out where the young lion at and see if he's ready to go. So when you meet the young lion out of Tribe Yada, Judah, up and coming to kick out of Camp 1, and you got eyes on him. So far, so good. All right, so let's see, can we bring him in and put his voice on take number 134, and we'll see who all will be on the stage for this lesson of 134. So, Brother Micaiah, tribe of Yahuwah Judah, Yahuwah bless you, Seer Roy.
Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel, Seer Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, why that young lion? Well, the fox tail have been lit, the curtain have went up, so we just gonna get something going on to see. Mother E, would you be on stage for take number 134? Hey, Mother E, traveler, one of the mothers out of Camp 1, would you be on stage for camp number, to be able to get in the microphone and assist in take number 134? Mother E, traveler, y'all got Judah. Y'all quite busy at C. Roy.
Y'all quite busy at Israel, of C. Roy, and we y'all quite.
Hallelujah, God, Mother E. Excellent. Mother Z, a couple of memos is saying, we want to hear more of your opinion on the commentary. Because we clear that you're sincere on what you're saying. So Mother E will be somewhere later on in the broadcast and give you a commentary on tape number 134 and whatever the Almighty put on her butt. We'll see if she ready to talk and let us know she on the standby or we'll pick up a little bit later. Hey, Mother Z, y'all quite busy at C-Roy.
She'll be later, Leah.
All right, excellent. Mother be there later, that's excellent. All right. So, a lot of stuff on the table. I'm seeing memos come in as we speak. But see, one thing we keep saying, and we keep saying it, and we don't keep saying it. And whatever we can keep saying, we just gonna keep saying it. Let's see if we go by Mother D. F. Israel. See if Mother D. F. Israel, would she be on take number 134? Would she be ready to kind of give all she got for take number 134? Let's see if we signify Mother D. F. Israel. You meet the mothers out of Camp 1 with a loud voice, you say, Mother D. F. Israel.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of C-Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, there, Mother D.F. Israel. She ready to go. And that's the great thing. It's all about who will be the path ready to go. It's so much got to be put on the table. Who gonna be prepared, ready to go at the time appointed? Around Detroit, Michigan, see is principally over Israel. Will she be ready to go if needed for take number 134? Detroit, Michigan, Princess Leora Israel. Yahweh bless you, right?
Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel of C. Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Detroit, Michigan, Israel. All right, well, we got a full staff that's ready to get at something, so we don't know what all we're going to get at, but we're going to get at something. So we got a lot of information coming to the table. And let's see if we find Brother Makai. Let's see if we get something going on. Let's see if we look and see what we can find out of what we can read out of Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. Let's see what Matthew chapter 10, verse 19 say, Brother Micaiah. Matthew 10, 19. Let's see what that says. Brother Micaiah, Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. What it say? You on the clock, come out.
The book of Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. 19 reads, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak.
Mm-hmm. So he says, you don't know where they're going to come, and that's why we street teaching now out of Camp 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So we don't know what they're going to bring to the table, but in that same hour, Yahweh will give you Luke. Chapter 12, verse 12. Brother
Micaiah,
what it say?
The book of Luke, chapter 12. Verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say.
And we have to believe that you have to be able to deal with the tenor of a conversation. And wherever the way the tenor of the conversation goes, that's how you got to go. And that's the game changer. You got to listen to the tenor of the conversation, and wherever the way the tenor goes, that's the way you go.
On the 4th of July, fellow citizens, pardon me, and allow me to ask, why am I called upon to speak this day? What am I, or those I represent, to do with your national independence? Are the great principles of political freedom and of natural justice embodied in that Declaration of Independence extended to us? And am I, therefore, called upon to bring our humble offering to the national altar and to confess the benefits and express devout gratitude for the blessings resulting from your independence to us? I am not included within the pale of this glorious anniversary. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us. The blessings in which you this day rejoice are not enjoyed in common. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, and independence bequeathed by your fathers is shared by you, not by me. The sunlight that brought life and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. This 4th of July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice. I must mourn. To drag a man in fetters into the grand illuminated temple of liberty and call upon him to join you in joyous anthems for inhuman mockery and sacrilegious irony. Do you mean, citizens, to mock me by asking me to speak today? What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him more than all other days of the year the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is a constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham, your boasted liberty an unholy license, your national greatness swelling vanity, your sound of rejoicing an empty and heartless denunciation of tyrants, brass-fronted impudence, your shouts of liberty and equality, hollow mockery, your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgivings, with all your religious parade and solemnity, are to him mere bombast, fraud, deception, impiety, and hypocrisy, a thin veil to cover up crimes that would displace a nation of savages. There's not a nation of the earth guilty of practices more shocking and bloody than are the people of these United States at this very hour. At a time like this, scorching irony, not convincing argument, is needed. Oh, had I the ability and could reach the nation's ear, I would play a stream, a fiery stream of fighting ridicule, blasting reproach, withering sarcasm, and stern rebuke. For it is not light that is needed, but fire. It is not the gentle shower, but thunder. We need the storm, the whirlwind, the earthquake. The feeling of the nation must be quickened. The conscience of the nation must be aroused. The propriety of the nation must be startled. The hypocrisy of the nation must be exposed. The crimes against God and man must be proclaimed and denounced.
That was...
Friends and fellow citizens, he who could address this audience with
without a quailing sensation has stronger nerve than I have. I do not ever remember to have appeared before anyone more shrinkingly, nor with greater distrust of my abilities than I do this day. The fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, the distance between the platform and the slave plantation from which I escaped is considerable. And the difficulties in getting from the latter to the former are by no means slight. That I am here today, to me, is a matter of astonishment as well as of gratitude. With little experience and less learning, I've managed to place my thoughts hastily and imperfectly together, and trusting to your patience and generous indulgence, I shall proceed to lay them before you. This, for the purpose of this celebration, is the 4th of July. It is the birthday of your national independence. It is to you what the Passover was to the emancipated people of God. It carries your minds back to that day and to the act of your great deliverance. May the patriot not hope that high lessons of wisdom, of justice, and of truth shall yet guide her in her destiny. Were America older, the patriot's heart might be sadder, the reformer's brow heavier. America's future might be shrouded in gloom, and the hope of her prophets go out in sorrow. There is consolation in the thought that America is young. Fellow citizens, pardon me and allow me to ask, why am I called upon here to speak to you today? What have I or anyone I represent to do with your national independence? Are the great principles of political freedom and natural justice embodied in that Declaration of Independence extended to us? Am I to confess the benefits and express devout gratitude resulting from the blessing of independence to us? Word to God, for both your sake and ours, and a affirmative answer would truthfully be returned to the question, then would my labor be light and my burden easy and delightful? For who would not lend his voice to the hallelujahs of a nation's jubilee when the chains of servitude had been torn from its limbs? But such is not the state of the case. I say with a sad sense of disparity between us, I am not included within the pale of your glorious anniversary. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us. The rich inheritance of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness bequeathed by your forefathers is shared by you, not me. The sunlight that brought life and health to you brought strife and death to me. This 4th of July is yours, not ours. You may rejoice. We must mourn. And to drag a man in fetters and the grand illuminated temple of liberty and call upon him to join you in joyous anthems is inhuman mockery and sacrilegious irony. Do you intend to mock me, fellow citizens, by calling me here to speak to you today by the rivers of Babylon? Yea, we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remember dying. We hung our hearts on the willows in the midst thereof. For they who led us away captive required of us a song. And they who wasted us required of us mercy, saying, sing that song of Zion. But how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Oh, Jerusalem, if I forget thee, may my right hand forget her cunning. And if I do not remember thee, may my tongue cleave to the roots of my mouth. Fellow citizens, the beyond your national and tumultuous joy, I hear the mournful wailing of millions whose chains, grievous yesterday as the day rendered more intolerable by the jubilee, shall bed reach them if I do forget. If I do not remember the bleeding children of sorrow, may my right hand forget her cunning, and may my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. To forget them, and to pass lightly over their wrongs, and chime in with the popular theme is treason, most scandalous and shocking, and would make me a reproach before God and the world. My subject then, fellow citizens, is American slavery. The simple story is that 76 years ago, the people of this country were British subjects. Your fathers deemed the English government as the home government and England as the fatherland. The home government did impose upon its colonial children such burdens and restraints as it deemed wise, right, and proper. But your fathers, who had not chimed in with the popular idea of the day of the infallibility of government, began to differ with those burdens and restraints. They went so far in their excitement as to pronounce the English government as unruly, unjust, and oppressive, and altogether such as not ought to be quietly submitted to. And I scarcely need say, fellow citizens, that my opinion of those measures fully accords with facts of your fathers. To say now that America was right and England wrong is exceedingly easy. For there was a time when to pronounce against England and in cause of the colonies tried men's souls. Those who did so were called makers of mischief, agitators, rebels, dangerous men. But your fathers were brave men, statesmen, patriots, and heroes, and for the good they did and the cause they stood for, I will stand with you to honor them in their memory. Feeling themselves unjustly treated, they earnestly sought redress. They petitioned, and they remonstrated. They did so in a decorous, loyal, and respectful manner. But oppression makes a wise man mad. Your fathers were wise men, and if they did not grow mad, they grew restive under this treatment. They felt themselves the victims of grievous wrongs, wholly incurable in their colonial capacity. It was just at this time that the idea of total separation of the colonies from the crown was born, resolved, that these united colonies are, and of right, ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and that all political connection between the colonies and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be dissolved. Friends, your fathers made good that resolution. They loved their country better than they loved their own private interests. They staked their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor all in the cause of liberty. They seized upon eternal principles and set a glorious example in their defense. Mark them, their solid manhood stands out all the more as we contrast it with these degenerate times. Shall we take a look at this day with its popular characteristics from the slave point of view? What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, it is a day that reveals to him more than any other day of the year the gross conduct and cruelty to which he is the constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham. You know what is a swine drover? I'll show you a man drover. They inhabit all of our southern states. They perambulate the country and prowl the highways of the nation in droves of human stock, armed with pistol, whip, and bowie knife, driving 100 men, women, and children, these wretched fools are to be sold singly or in lots to suit purchasers. They are food for the cotton field and the deadly sugar mill, mocks the sad procession as they move along, and the savage wretch who drives them. See the old man with locks thin and gray. See the young woman whose shoulders are bare to the scorching sun, her briny tears fall on the brow of the babe in her arms. See, too, the young girl of 13, weeping as she thinks of her mother from whom she's been torn. Master Sassacus, heat and sorrow nearly consumes their strength. Suddenly you hear a quick slap, like the discharge of a rifle. The better strike, chains rattle, your ears are polluted with a scream that seems to have torn its way into the center of your soul. The crack you heard was the sound of a whip. The scream you heard was the mother with the babe in her arms. Her strength had faltered under the weight of the chains and the child, and the gas in her shoulder tells her to move on. Travel the procession to New Orleans. Attend an auction there. See men examined like horses. See the frames of women rudely and brutally exposed to the shocking gaze of American slave buyers. Tell me, citizens, where under the sun can you witness such a spectacle more fiendish and shocking? Yet this is but a glimpse of the American slave system as it exists in the ruling parts of the United States. But it is just in this moment when I hear someone in my audience say, it is just at this time that you and your fellow abolitionists fail to make a favorable impression upon the public mind. If you would argue more and denounce less, if you would persuade more and rebuke less, your cause might be much more likely to succeed. But I submit, where all is plain, there's nothing to be argued. What point in the anti-slavery creed would you have me argue? Am I to argue the point that the slave is a man? The point is conceded already. Nobody doubts it. Slaveholders themselves acknowledge it in the enactment of the laws of their government. They acknowledge it when they punish a slave for disobedience. There are 72 crimes in the state of Virginia which, if committed by a black man, may subject him to the punishment of death, while only two of those same crimes, if committed by a white man, may subject him to life punishment. What is this but the acknowledgement that the slave is a moral, intellectual, and responsible being? Southern statute books are filled with enactments teaching the slave under severe fines and penalties how to read and to write. When you can point to any such laws as it relates to the beasts of the field, then I will consent to argue the manhood of the slave, American. Your Republican politics, as well as your Republican religion, is fragrantly inconsistent. You boast of your love for liberty, your high civilization, your pure Christianity, while all the while the whole political power of the nation conspires to hold in bondage 3 million of its countrymen. You celebrate fugitives from abroad. You honor them with banquets. You toast them. You salute them. You bless them. But of your own fugitives at home, you advertise. You hunt, arrest, shoot, and kill. You mourn fallen hungry. You make her wrong the subject of your poets, your orators, and your statesmen. But of the 10,000 wrongs committed against the American slave, you enforce the strictest silence and would deem him an enemy of the nation that would make their subject public discourse. You say that all men are created of one blood and that all men everywhere should love one another, yet you notoriously hate those whose skin is not colored like your own. You proclaim before the world and before the world proclaim, we hold these and have been endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Yet, you hold in bondage a seventh part of the inhabitants of your country. Friends, the existence of slavery in this country brands your republicanism a sham, your humanity a base pretense, your Christianity a lie. It destroys your moral power abroad. It corrupts your politicians at home. It saps the very foundation of religion. It makes your name a hissing and a byword to a mocking earth.
Hallelujah. Well, 4th of July. Well, one thing we do know, the Sixth Anointed Council, you know, we are out in front on that information, and we understand that the 4th of July, it was something going on that 1776 that the Great Britain had a son called coming out of the 17th chapter of Revelation. And he broke away, although he was sent over to America, but they got happy to break away from their brothers. So the war of 1776, it was the American citizens of Esau fighting against the British descendants of Esau. And they said to the Negro that was in Britain, if you help us fight against the American, my brothers, we will give you something in return. And then when the United States of America had the slaves that was here, told them that if you fight in the war and help us win, you will get 40 acres and a mute. So the black African-American Negro joined in to fight against Britain. And the British Negro all said and done, this is what happened. Let's see if we find out what happened. When it was all said and done, what happened to that treaty that was told if you fight for our independence, you got independence? And we want to find out what happened there. What happened that we can read?
I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. It means broken or changed or altered.
Meaning that every treaty...
Tell me then, when way back in the 50s, when you got interested in, when you were interested in the Indians' fishing rights, before it was fashionable to be so, what triggered that?
I read a book called Indians of the Americas. I after reading the book, realized that I knew nothing about the American Indian and that everything we are taught about the American Indian is wrong. It's inaccurate. And our school books are hopelessly lacking, perhaps criminally lacking, in revealing what our relationship was with the Indian. When we hear as we've heard throughout all our lives, no matter how old we are, that we are a country that stands for freedom, for rightness, for justice, for everyone. It simply doesn't apply to those who are not white. It just simply doesn't apply. And we were the most rapacious, aggressive, destructive, torturing, monstrous people who swept from one coast to the other, murdering and causing mayhem among the Indians. There's one Indian in there. But that isn't revealed, because we don't like that image of ourselves. We don't like to see us. We like to see ourselves as perhaps John Wayne sees us. And and also what we've learned about the Indians has been largely taught to us by Hollywood and by motion pictures. They have educated us. So we naturally believe that when the Indians came, that the wagon circled and the Indians rode around and subjected themselves to terrible fire and died at a ratio of 65-1.
Both barrels of a shotgun would always get two Indians.
Yeah, and that wasn't the way it was at all. But anyway, Indians have been tragically misrepresented in films. And in our history books, in our attitudes, in our reporting. And so we must set about to re-educate ourselves. Who are you looking at?
You.
Oh,
No, there's a message coming. But,
oh, okay.
One thing I wanted to get into on that, too, was the subject of not only how the Indians treated on the screen, but off the screen. I know a guy who was in it.
Let me tell you another thing. At a time when we say, especially, that we are going to keep our treaties and that we do keep our word and that we, above all people, do keep our word. I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. It means broken or changed or altered.
No exceptions. And the Indians howl with laughter, I guess, when they hear a public figure like a president saying other nations will laugh at us if we don't honor our treaty commitments.
Oh, yeah.
When they can think of 400 and, I don't know what the exact figure is, 31 examples of how we have them in the past, and this would only be the 432nd case of it if we didn't. But I do go on. But we have a message. We'll be right back.
Every treaty that have been made for the children of the book have been altered, and it's amazing. Now, where will we go with this lesson on take number 134? Okay, we'll see which way we go on this lesson. Brother Kaya, let's see what it says in Numbers chapter 15, 16, and 29. We are open up. We've got enough on the table to make an altar or whatever to be taught, and let's see which way it goes. Let's see what it says, what the record says in Numbers 15, 15, and 16, and 29. Brother Makai, you on the clock. Come on. Take number 134. Come on.
Hey, John, look, noise in the background. Did you say Numbers 15, 15, 16, 24?
Make it Numbers chapter 15, verse 15, 16, and 29. Try that, young lion.
Okay, the book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 15, 16, and 29. Verse 15 reads, one ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, and ordinance forever in your generation. As you are, so shall the stranger be before Yahuwah. Verse 16. One law and one manner should be for you and for the stranger that sojourneth with you. verse 29. You shall have one law for him that sin grew ignorant, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth, among them.
Mm-hmm. So you supposed to have, he say you supposed to have it one way, according to the way it is written in this Bible. So in Proverbs chapter 3, the young lion, verse 31 to 33 says what? What do Proverbs chapter 3 say? Verse 31 down to verse 33. Proverbs 3, 31 down to verse 33.
Okay, going to the book of Proverbs, picking up at chapter 3, verse 31 down to 33. Book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 31 reads, envy you not the oppressor, and choose none of his way. 32, for the forward is abomination to Yahuwah, but his secret is within the righteous. 33. The curse of Yahuwah is in the house of the wicked, but the blessed the habitation of the just. But he blesses the habitation of the just.
Mm-hmm. Let's run to EZRA chapter 4, verse 1. We're just going to play it as it unfolds itself. So he's saying, choose none of their ways, and we clear them. Matter of fact, I was approached today. A young man approached me and said, happy 4th of July. I said, happy 4th of July? He said, yeah. I said, what is that? He said, you know, this is day happy, the day of our independence. So I was heading to get in to see exactly. That's a tough pill to swallow. And that's why we know we got so much work to do. Storm of the Sixth Anointed Camp. We got so much work to do. Let's go to EZRA chapter 4 and pick up verse 1. Let's read a little bit until we get our point. We're going to EZRA chapter 4. Let's look down at 1 through 5. And pick it up at verse number 10 down to 14. We're going to EZRA chapter 4, 1 through 5, 10 down to verse 14 there, young lion. Let's see what is
that
saying? You on the clock, come on.
Book of Ezra, Ezra, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, and skipping down 10 through 14. Verse 1 reads, now when the adversaries of Yada Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity built the temple unto Yahuwah of Israel. Verse 2. Then they became to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you. For we seek your Yahuwah as you do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assur, which brought us up hither. Verse 3, but Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, you have nothing to do with us to build a temple unto our Yahuwah, but we ourselves together will build unto Yahuwah of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Verse 4. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Yada Judah and troubled them in building. Verse 5. And hired counselors against them, to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Verse 10, and the rest of the nation, whom the great and noble Asnapper fought over and set in the cities of Samaria, and the rest that are on the side of the river, and at such a time, verse 11, this is the copy of the letter that they sent unto him, unto Artaxerxes, the king, thy servant, the man on this side the river, and at such a time, verse 12, be it known unto the king that Yada Judah, which came up from there to us, are come to Yada Judah, building the rebellious and the bad city, and has set up the walls thereof and joined the foundation. Verse 13. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be built and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom, and so you shall and damage the revenue of the king. Verse 14. Now, because we have Mason from the king's place, and it from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore have we sent and certified the king. 15. The third, oh, that's 14. That's it.
Mm-hmm. So we see plainly that, Mother E, run to Judges chapter 2, 1, 2, and 3. Judges chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, Mother E. What can we read in Judges chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3? Judges
chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. Book of Judges, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Verse 1. And the ministering spirits of the Yahweh come up from Gilgal to Boshen and say, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your father. And I say, I will never break my covenant with you. Verse 2. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Verse 3. Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your side, and their yahweh shall be a snare unto you.
Mm-hmm. So you see what he's saying? So whenever you go against the written records of Yahweh, the consequences is not going to be in your favor. Now let's go to the fifth chapter of the book of Judas there, Mother E. We're going to Judas chapter 5. We'll see, can we analyze what's going on today according to the scripture on the run? We're going to Judas chapter 5. We're going to pick up at verse number 5. We're going to Judas 5:5.
Okay.
Let's read a little bit down to verse 20. Let's read Judas chapter 5, verse 5. I tell you what, pick up at 5, verse 1, and take it down to verse number 8. And Mother D of Israel, pick up at verse number 9 to 21. Pick up at 9 to 21. And let's see what we can get out of this. Let's see what we can get out of Judas chapter 5, 1 through 8, that Mother E. 1 down to verse 8. And Mother D of Israel, have me 9 to 21. You're on the clock. Come on.
Judas chapter 5.
Judas 5, 1 through 8. Yes, ma'am. 1 through 8.
Judas chapter 5, verse 1 through 8. Then was it gathered, declared to Hotham, the chief captain of the army of Assyria, that the children of Israel had prepared for war and had shut up the passage of the hill country and had forfeited all the top of the high hill and had laid imprisonment in the chambers country. Verse 2. Wherewith he was very angry and called all the prince of Moab and the captain of Ammon and all the governors of the sea. So, verse 3. And he said unto them, tell me now, you sons of Canaan, who this people is that dwells in the hilly country, and what are the cities that they inhabit? And what is the multitude of their army? And wherein is their power and strength? And what king is set over them? Captains of their army. Verse 4. And why have they determined not to come and meet me more than all the inhabitants of the west? Verse 5. Then say Achor, the captain of all the sons of Ammon, Let my Yahweh now hear a word from the mouth of the thy servant, and I will declare unto thee the truth concerning this people, which dwell near thee and inhabited the hilly country, and there shall no, and there shall no lie come out of the mouth of thy servant. This people is discerning of the charging return, and they sojourn fearful in Master Catana, because they would not follow the Yahweh of their fathers, which were in the land of Caribbean. Verse 8. For they left the way of their ancestors and worshiped the Yahweh of heaven, the Yahweh whom they knew. So they cast them out from the face of their Yahweh, and they flee.
So what you just got to read that?
In a day.
So what you just got to read that the world came down to see exactly who runs what, and he had his men to go check to make sure they were still in power to all of the other nations, Moab, Ammon, and like we just got through reading in Ezra, all the ones around is the one that told a story about, you know, we all for you. And we don't want to see that place built up. Because if that place built up again, they're going to cause havoc. So we're going to tell you exactly what's going on about the place built up again. All right, so now you just got to read Judas chapter 5, 1 through 8. Now we want to hear a little bit more about this story because, see, one thing about it is in Ecclesiastes, we're trying to see how can we tackle what we just got through here. So in the book of Ecclesiastes, Mother E, in the first chapter, is a statement made in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Can you help the old seer out and see what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 out of the regular book? It's a statement that's made there, Mother E, and I want to hear that statement. What it said that we can read in verse number 9? 1, verse 9.
Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. The thing that has been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun.
So is no new thing under the sun. And Mother E, what is that thing that is nothing new upon the sun that we can read? What is that we're talking about in 6 verse 10? What is this thing that we're talking about in that which have been is now? What is that thing in 6 verse 10 of the book of Ecclesiastes? Let's talk about it, Moses. 6 verse 10 is what?
Verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 10. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see this is new, it has been already of old time?
Well, go to the 6th chapter now, Mother. Hey, Mother E, look at the 6th chapter, verse 10.
Chapter 6, verse 10. That which has been is made already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mighty.
So that thing is man.
Mm-hmm.
So that otherwise that same man that have been perpetrating you back in the on the left side of the book, that same man is perpetrating you now. Just like July 4th, the children called African American, Negro, and color, they celebrate a Independence Day with propaganda, not knowing that the Independence Day have nothing to do with them. It was the sentence of the same people breaking away from their big brother.
Mm-hmm.
Has nothing to do with you, and you will celebrate that day where it had nothing to do with you but promise. If you help us win, this is what you got coming. That's what Great Britain said. They never got nothing coming. Over in America, they said, hey, African American, Negro, color, if you help us fight against Britain, this is what you got coming. You never got nothing yet. But we will celebrate that day harder than the people that propaganda you today. See? So that's why we say plainly, Campo, Detroit, Michigan. Where it says in Ecclesiastes, the regular book, 7, verse 7. So when you look right down at what's going on today, this is why this verse right here in 7, verse 7 says what? What it says, Campo, regular book of Ecclesiastes, 7, verse 4. What it says, Campo? We're saying Latter-day Saints, she is too slow. We're going to mute her. Mother D of Israel, what do Ecclesiastes 7, verse 7 say out of a regular book in Mother D of Israel? What do it say in verse 7, verse 7?
Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 7. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroys the mind.
So a wise person would get mad because we see the propaganda about everything that goes on that's contrary to his Bible. It'll make you mad, but it got to make you smarter now to be able to help yours. That's why it's very important to understand that it's time for now and you to understand the propaganda that's behind everything. Because the same one propaganda in the beginning is the same descendants propaganda you today. Like on the 4th of July. You got kinfolks that you know of yourself will sit this day as a holiday to come visit and cook up everything, drink up everything, and celebrate them getting their back whooped. This have nothing to do with you, African American Negro color. It's got something to do with the two, one group of Esau descendants, the white man, broke away from another descendants of Esau, the white man, and gave you promises. If you help them, what you got coming, then they reneged on you on every point. So you see, you got to keep that in your mind. Now we're going back to Mother D of Israel, and we're going to pick up at verse Judas 5, verse 9, down in verse 21. Listen at the conversation, because you always going to have somebody tears in your midst, and they always try to throw an old saying called a monkey wrench in the equation. But you have to recognize them. So now let's pick up verse number 9, 5 verse 9, Mother D of Israel, down to verse 21, you on the clock, come out.
Judas chapter 5, verses 9 to 21, verse 9. Then their Yahweh commanded them to depart from the place where they sojourned and to go into the land of Canaan, where they dwelt and were increased with gold and silver and with very much cattle. Verse 10. But when a famine covered all the land of Canaan, they went down into Egypt and sojourned there while they were nourished and became there a great multitude, so that one could not number their nation. Verse 11. Therefore the king of Egypt rose up against them and dealt subtilely with them and brought them low with laboring and bricks and made them slaves. Verse 12. Then they cried unto their Yahweh, and he smote all the land of Egypt with incurable plagues. So the Egyptians cast them out of their sight. Verse 13. And Yahweh dried the Red Sea before them. 14. And brought them to Mount Sinai and bonds, I don't know that, and cast forth all that dwell in the wilderness. Verse 15. So they dwell in the land of the Amorites, and they destroyed by their strength all them of Ichbon. And passing over Jordan, they possessed all the hill country. Verse 16. And they cast forth before them the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Shechemites, and all the Gergesites, and they dwell in that country many days. 17. And while they sin not before the Yahweh, they prosper, because Yahweh that hates sin, iniquity was with them. Verse 18. But when they departed from the way which he appointed them, they were destroyed in many battles, very sore, and were led captives into a land that was not theirs. And the temple of their Yahweh was cast to the ground, and their cities were taken by the enemy. Verse 19. But now are they returned to their Yahweh, and are come up from the place where they were scattered, and have possessed Yahdaju, where their temple is, and are seated in the hill country where it was desolate. Verse 20. Now therefore, my Yahweh and governor, if there be any error in this people, and they sin against their Yahweh, let us consider that this shall be their ruin, and let us go up, and we shall overcome them. 21. But if there be no sins in their nation, let my Yahweh now pass by, lest their Yahweh defend them, and their Yahweh be for them, and we become a reproach before all the world.
Mm-hmm. So what are you saying? He's saying, listen, the only way you can keep these people down, you got to keep a lot of propaganda before them, like they got going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
The 4th of July, Easter, Thanksgiving, New Year's, Christmas. As long as you keep propaganda before the children of Israel, you ain't got to worry about it. The Almighty is not going to fight for them. Mm-hmm. But if they wake up and start putting this thing together, and start teaching us that the reason you in captivity today because of your own disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you start teaching this, that's when the trouble gonna start on them. But you will gain respect from your mighty one, Lord Micaiah. Let's see what he says in the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verse 23 out of verse 25. You know, let's see what he said we can read in the Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 down to verse 25. What is saying that we can read now? Young lion, come on.
The book of Exodus chapter 2, 23 down to 25. 23 reads, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto Yahuwah by reason of the bondage. 24. And Yahuwah heard their groaning, and Yahuwah remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Israel. Verse 25. And Yahuwah looked upon the children of Israel, and Yahuwah had respect unto them.
So, once you understand who you are as a people, let's go to Issachar, boy, brother Job. Let's see what Job got to say in Job chapter 5. And we'll pick up at verse 5. We'll read a little bit till we get our point. Brother Micaiah, let's run and see what Issachar, boy, Job says about what we can read. In Job chapter 5, pick up verse 5. We'll read down till we get our point. You on the clock, come on.
The book of Job, chapter 5, picking up at verse 5. Job, Issachar, boy, verse chapter 5, verse 5 reads, whose harvest the hungry eat it up, and take it even out of the thorn, and the robbers swell up their substance. Verse 6, although affliction come not forth of the dust, neither do trouble spring out of the ground. 7, yet man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. Verse 8, I will seek unto Yahuwah, and unto Yahuwah would I commit my cause. Verse 9, which do great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Verse 10, who give rain upon the earth, and send waters upon the field. Verse 11, to set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. Verse 12, he disappointed the devices of the craftsmen, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. Verse 13, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the forge is carried headlong. Verse 14.
Hold that point. Hold that point. Come back to verse 12 again.
Verse 12. The book of Job, chapter 5, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, he disappointed the devices of the craft, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise.
He said, now when you in order, whatever they set up, it always come to naught. But long as you continue to follow what they dictate to you, you're going to always come up like you are now. But once you cry to him and start not only reading this Bible, but understanding this Bible, then Yahuwah will have respect for you. But long as you study reacting to everything that's going on, and you know more about what's going on with this wickedness than what's going on according to this Bible. Now let's go to Isaiah 31, verse 1 there, young lion. We're just going to play this by ear. We're going to 31 and pick a verse 1. Let's read a little bit, because we're going to see which way his lesson gone on what we have heard, because see, right now, the majority of those 12 tribes of Israel, they all caught up in the 4th of July that had nothing to do with them but a promise that was made if they fight with us, a promise that you haven't got today. You see? And the Almighty cannot help you until you understand you have to sacrifice and get back into your strength, which is him. So we're going to Isaiah 31, pick up verse 1. Let's read a little bit.
Hey, the book of Isaiah, chapter 31, picking it up at verse 1. Verse 1 reads, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are men, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the righteous one of Israel, neither seek Yahuwah. Verse 2. Yet he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work sin. Verse 3. Now the Egyptians are men, and not Yahuwah, and their horses flesh, and not spirit. When the Yahuwah shall stretch out his hand, both he that helps shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fall together. Verse 4. For thus hath Yahuwah spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him. He will not be afraid of their voice, nor abash himself for the noise of them. So shall Yahuwah's host come down to fight for Yadadjud and for the hill thereof. Verse 5. As birds fly, so will Yahuwah's host defend Yadadjud. Defending also, he will deliver it. And passing over, he will preserve it. Verse 6. Turn you unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. Verse 7. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and of in his idols of gold, which your hand which your own hand have made unto you for a sin. Verse 8. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword, not of a mean man, shall devour him. But he shall flee from the sword, and the young man shall be discomfited. Verse 9. And he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, says Yahuwah, whose fire is in Yadadjud, and his furnace in Yadadjud.
Now, what is he saying? Now, remember, at this time, the Assyrians taking out the 10 northern tribes. So the Assyrians he's talking about is not the ancient Assyrians. He's talking about the future Assyrians, which is the powers that be today. So when you read the word called Assyrians here, you go on read back to him taking out the northern kingdom. No. When Isaiah came up with this, this right here, remember, in 722, the northern kingdom was taken out by the Assyrians. And by 700 B.C., they was already gone. This is talking about a future Assyrian, the ones that got you into doing what you're doing today. And they use 1 Ezra 5, verse 71 to 73. Let's see what they use that we can work with, young lion, 1 Ezra, Apocrypha, they call it. Chapter 5, verse 71 through 73. What can we read in 1 Ezra 5, 71 down to verse 33?
The book of 1 Ezra, chapter 5, verse 71 down to 73. Reading from the book of the Apocrypha. 1 Ezra, chapter 5, verse 71 down to 73. 71 reads, we ourselves alone will build unto Yahuwah of Israel, according as Cyrus, the king of the Persians, hath commanded us. Verse 72. But the 17 nations of the land, lying heavy upon the inhabitants of Yadadjud, and holding them straight, hindered their building. Verse 73. And by their secret plots and popular persuasion and commotion, they hindered the finishing of the building all the time that King Cyrus lived. So they were hindered from building for the space of 2 years into the reign of Darius.
So it's always going to be somebody to hinder you trying to get to where you got to get to. And and they're going to use secret plots and popular persuasion. They're always going to keep you away from knowing if you get your act in order. They know things will come out of it. And that's pretty good. So they use secret plots and popular persuasion at Mother E. And who they are focused in on that we can read in Isaiah 14, verse 32. What it say? Hey, Mother E, what it says in Isaiah 14, verse 32? Isaiah 14, 32. Mother E, Isaiah 14, verse 32. What it say? Marie, Isaiah 14, 32. Pick it up, Mother D.F. Israel.
14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 32. What shall one then answer the messenger of the nation that Yahweh has found Judah, and the poor of his people shall trust in him, in it?
Yeah, so he's letting you know, listen, you're going to have to trust in him on the way he got this thing written. The poor of his people is called the poor of his people. What the world is continuing to plot upon is you, see, right? They plot up on you on the thing that you do right now. They bamboozle you with these days that you're doing right now and give you a day off. And then it's day you go visit your loved ones and you have your barbecuing on everything. But they never tell you that this was a tragic day to you because you fought and lost your life. And the promise that was told to you never happened. In Matthew 5, Mother, let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. What it says in Matthew 5, verse 4 and verse 5.
Okay. Matthew chapter 5. Okay, see ya. Matthew chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. That's right, yeah. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 reads, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
So, a young man told me today, he said, I don't know how he said it, but he let me know today it's more than this, more, after this, it's more to come. He said, although we're taking affliction today, but we know it's a better place up and away for us to it's a better place so we can endure what's going on the earth because we got a better place far beyond here. You see that? So you see, the mindset of our people, they will accept defeat now because we got a better place up yonder somewhere. We got a better place coming. So now we don't concede on whatever the nation do to us now because we got a better place. And that's what they've been taught today. Don't worry. You got a better place coming for you. So whatever is going on today, just go through the motion because you got a better place coming. See, that's the mindset that we have. Now, Now, Mother E, I don't know what happened to you a minute ago. Let me come back to you again, Mother E. And I want to look at, I let Brother Micaiah set it up in the book of Job 5, verse 12. And Mother E, you have me, Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1. So we kind of line some up, because until we can get the foundation down on some things that we need to know, because they keep on giving you the same, and you study keep falling for the same. Now, I want to come back to Brother Micaiah in Job chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. What did it say, Brother Micaiah?
Look at Job chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. Verse 10 reads, "Who giveth rain upon the earth and send water upon the fields?" Verse 11, "To set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety." Verse 12, "He disappointed the devices of the craft, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise."
He said, once you cry to him the right way, he going to disappoint all the ones that have manipulated you from the time that you broke away, the time you done that was prophesied. Hey, Mother, D.F. Israel, he was prophesied in 28, verse 47 down to verse 50. Some was prophesied about you that we can read in Deuteronomy 28:47 down to verse 50. What can we read in Mother E, have me Wisdom of Solomon 5, verse 1, waiting on me? So it was prophesied about you, children of Israel, in the 28th chapter, 47 through 50. What does it say, Mother D of Israel?
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47 to 50. Verse 47. "Because thou servest not Yahweh your Yahweh with joyfulness and with gladness of mind for the abundance of all things." Verse 48. "Therefore shall thou serve thine enemy, which Yahweh shall send against you, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed you." 49. "Yahweh shall bring a nation against you from far, from the ends of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand." Verse 50. "A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young."
And in Jeremiah 21:4-5, Mother Jeff Israel, what did he say? And what did he say in Jeremiah 21:4-5? And what else did he say to make things even more in as a disadvantage to you? In Jeremiah 21, verse 4 and 5, what else did he say?
Jeremiah 21, verses 4 and 5. Verse 4. "Thus says Yahweh of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hand, wherewith you fight against the king of Babylon, and against the cherubim which besiege you without the walls. And I will assemble them into the midst of this city." Verse 5. "And I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath."
is he saying, Mother? What is he saying, Mother D.F. Israel, in verse 4 and 5? What is he saying to tell Jeremiah? What is he saying? We read in Deuteronomy 28, 47 through 50, since you don't want to serve me, you're going to serve your enemy. Then right. When Jeremiah came on the scene, he had that verse. He said, not only that, that when you go to fight, what he said going to happen to you when you go to fight, according to 21, verse 4 and 5, Mother D.F. Israel, what he say?
He going to turn your weapon on you because of your disobedience. He going to fight against you.
So when we got to that agreement that was told, if you help us, you got this coming. And Great Britain says, if you help us, you got this coming. Regardless, whatever people say you got coming, Yahweh was not going to allow it to happen because you transgressed against him. And he says, regardless, I'm going to make everybody turn against you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make when you try to fight, weapons going, you're going to be trying to stick straight and it'll come back and stick you. He said, I'm going to fight against you because you don't want to serve me the way you agreed to serve me.
Right.
So our problem lies in the hands of our maker.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything he tells us to do, we'll do the Malachi 1:13 Brother Micaiah. We'll do the Malachi 1:13. What does it say that we can read in Malachi 1:13?
Hello to the book of Malachi. Chapter 1, verse 13. The book of Malachi, chapter 1, verse 13. 13 read. You said also, what it really is, and you have nothing.
We done what? Whatever we did, it's a weary to serve Yahweh. We done what?
Nothing.
We don't snuff at it. So it's a weary to serve Yahweh. But you made the agreement to serve Yahweh. But it's a weary to serve him. And everything he got written in the Bible, you snuff at. We listened to the tape earlier when they says, you got a festival called Passover. You don't keep that. But now the enemies got a festival called the 4th of July, and you out here doing, dropping cherry bombs. I mean, shooting real pistols. You so happy. You see what you do? And this was a slave. This was the killing blow for you. And we enjoying it every minute of it. We seeing how much we going to drink it up, shoot them up, and everything, and how we going to enjoy that, then wonder, where's our couple hours at? You see what you do? See, this is a, Mother D.F. Israel, this is 13:8-10 people of Jeremiah. According to 13:8-10, because I know we all had calls, and there's always somebody that from our family can invite us over for a 4th of July picnic get-together. Mom, and we going to barbecue and, see? That's what we read in Ecclesiastes 7:7, that oppression of the way our people is, it makes a wise person very mad. And they look at us like we don't know what we're talking about, and we tell you, Yahweh is not going to intervene. He's not going to help us until we return back to the agreements on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, you can't sleep at night. You can't sleep in the middle of the day, period, because they're doing everything to celebrate them getting their back whooped big time. I mean, celebrating big time how they get, and wait till the night get here. they really going to get it at night. Okay? So in Jeremiah 13:8-10, what does that mother D.F. Israel?
Jeremiah chapter 13, verses 8 to 10, verse 8. Then the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, verse 9, thus says Yahuwah, after this manner will I mar the pride of Yahdah and the great pride of Yahdah. Verse 10, this evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their mind and walk after others, false Yahuwahs, to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing.
Yeah. He says, right now you know, even your little babies know more about what's going on today. And then he went to school. You see? So that's what we got. That's what we got to work with. Now, Mother E, let's go to that Wisdom of Solomon chapter 5. Let's read a little bit from verse 1. Let's see what we can get out of this. Wisdom of Solomon, Mother E, pick up at verse number 5, verse 1. Let's read a little bit and see what's going on. Let's see what got to happen that we can read. Wisdom of Solomon chapter 5, pick at verse 1. You're on the clock, Mother E, come on.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1. Then shall the righteous man stand in the great boldness before the face of such as have afflicted him and made no account of his labor. Verse 2. When they see it, they shall be troubled. With terrible fear, and shall be amazed at his senseness of his salvation, so far beyond all that they look for. Verse 3. And they repented and groaned for anger of spirit, shall say within themselves, this was he whom we had sometimes in deliverance, and a proverb of report. Verse 4, the fool accounts his life madness and gives in to be without harm. Verse 5, how is he among the children of Yahuwah, and his lot is among the saints? Verse 6, therefore have we erred from the way of truth, and the light of righteousness has not shined unto us, and the sun of righteousness rose not upon us. Verse 7. We worry ourselves in the way of wickedness and destruction. Yea, we have gone through deceit. Desert with
Well let me break that down a little bit, Mother. Let me break that down and give me Micah chapter 2. Give me Micah 2 verse 1. Let me break that down a little bit there, Mother. What they're saying, they know somewhere there's a people that's going to wake up, start analyzing all the stuff that's been told them is not true. Like going to worship on Sunday, not true. Not wearing fringes, not true. Not keeping nothing that they got on table. So it's going to be a ministry that's going to be able to soundly break that down. We had them in derision, and we want to know how they escaped and got among the children of the blessed. How did they do it? Because we wearied ourselves from keeping them down, and we paid also people to infiltrate among them and always keep something going on. But they don't figure everything out now. So that's the mystery we got our eye on, that now have figured this thing out and now trying to turn it around with the peoples of the book, but letting them know that you got to return back to him the way the Bible says so. And choose none of the wicked ways of the other nation. That's a big job, but it's going to be done. Because mother, in Micah chapter 2, what did he tell a seer that they famous of doing in Micah 2 verse 1? What did it say?
Book of Micah chapter 2 verse 1. Woe to them that devise iniquitous sin and worketh evil upon their beards. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in their power of their hands. And they cover fields and take them by violence, and houses and take them away. For they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Verse 3.
3.
Therefore, thus said the Yahweh, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which ye shall not remove your name, neither shall you go hunt, for this time is evil. Hearken.
That's good, mother. That's good. Now, what they down did, they came over to a land and removed millions of 10 northern tribes by violence. And they celebrate their themselves victory against their own brothers, Great Britain, not knowing Great Britain and the one called American removed the 10 northern tribes out of their extended from the, that ain't even talked about. It was about Great Britain sending their people over here to conquer the land. But to come back and bring it back to us, then they got the big head and said, why should we take it back to them? Why aren't we still here? And then that's how it happened. The truth of the matter is the people that had to join in to fight on something that belongs to them from the get-go. See, this is a weird tale story. And all this because of our disobedience in Yahweh's word. That's all it's about. When we backed away from the agreement that Yahweh told us, all these things happened to us and continue to happen to us because we refused to return back to no agreement. So that means that for this thing to work, and that's why this ministry got a Mother D.F. Israel, this ministry got a 1 Corinthians 4 verse 9, and Brother Micaiah had me Haggai 2:1-14, waiting on me. But Mother D.F. Israel, what can we read in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 9? Hey, Mother D.F. Israel, 1 Corinthians 4:9, What does it say?
First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. For I think that Yahweh has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men.
Mm-hmm. So, he set the ministry last. Everybody on half their shot at this thing, in a club shop. Because he tell you so many things, tell you, and you think you can be a multi-up Israel. You think you can be a 10-1 and pull this off. What it says in St. John 10-1, multi-up Israel, what it say in 10-1?
Okay. St. John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
He says, if you're going to try to strategize getting to where you got to get by coming up another way, you're just like you've been a thief and a robber. If you think you're going to get to where you got to get by being out of order, you're going to lose. In Malachi, mother dear Israel, chapter 3, verse 16 through 18 says what? Malachi 3, 16 down to verse 18. What does it say, mother dear Israel?
Malachi chapter 3, 16 through 18, verse 16. Then they that fear Yahweh spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened, listened, and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. Verse 17. And they shall be mine, says Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewel, and I will spare them as a man spares his own sons that serve him. Verse 18. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that served Yahweh and him that served him not.
Mother dear Israel, go to 2 Ezra, chapter 2, and pick up verse 46 down to verse 48. 2 Ezra, out of the Apocrypha. Chapter 2, 46, down to verse 48. What
does
it say?
Okay. Second Ezra, chapter 2, verses 47 to 48.
Second Ezra. We're making 46. Make it 46. Oh. Make it 46 to 48.
Second Ezra chapter 2, verse 46 to 48. Verse 46. Then said I unto the angel, what young person is it that crowneth them and giveth them palms in their hand? Verse 47. So he answered and said unto me, it is the son of Yahweh, whom they have confessed in the world. Then began I greatly to commend them that stood so stiffly for the name of Yahweh. Verse 48. Then the angel said unto me, go your way and tell my people what manner of things and how great wonders of Yahweh, your Yahweh, thou hast seen.
So he's saying, so Ezra pulled that from Malachi, letting you know that you cannot I don't care how good your program is.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stand stiffly in the name.
Mm-hmm.
He said, go tell my people about the name. And you know, mm-hmm. all the big dignitaries of the camps, they using every name but the name he told them to go tell the people's ear. So they're going to try to do this thing by coming up another way by not bringing in the controversy name, which is the power name, or YHWH. They're going to try to do it in another name. It's not going to work. And that's mm-hmm. the point we got to make. It's not going to work. It's not going to work when you divide yourself and talk up another way than what's written in this Bible. It's not going to work. Now, Mother E, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9 says what? What can we read in 16, verse 9?
Okay.
Mother E, 16, verse 9, what it reads.
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9 reads. For a great dose and effection is open unto me. Okay. For a great dose and effection is open unto me, and there are many adversaries.
Yeah, we got many adversaries. But a great door will open up for us. A great door. So, Mother, what we must not do in Numbers 14, verse 9. See, a great door will be open. You know what I mean by a great door? By we able to come on this network 6 nights a week. Every country hear us speaking, even the ones that looking for a way to cut this ministry short. A great door has been opened up for the six anointed camps. We have to take advantage of it and move forward in Yahuwah for Yahuwah to come give us a door. The door is open. So we have to show soundly what this Bible is saying and what did Joshua say in 14 verse 9, Mother? Or Numbers. What did he say?
Numbers. Numbers, chapter 14, verse 9. All of they are not you against the Yahuwah, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Yahuwah is with us. Fear them not.
So, you see what he's saying? So he's letting you know that their defense is no longer there. They cannot go in this Bible and defend nothing that they don't say it to you, even 4th of July. 4th of July is not in this Bible, but Passover is. We know more about the 4th of July, and we know nothing about Passover.
Mm-hmm.
The children of Israel celebrated Passover.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what the children of Israel are doing today? They're celebrating 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
See? So that's contrary to it. And we gone whole for 4th of July on the day you got your back beaten, you lost many lives that look like you. And Yahuwah was not going to lie to the promise that was told to you because of one reason, Mother E. Mother E, what's the reason why he wasn't going to let it happen for you in Ecclesiastes 1:15? Is the reason why he was not going to let it happen, Mother E. Ecclesiastes
1, verse 15. Okay. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 15. Okay, Ecclesiastes 1, verse 15. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanted and not be numbered.
You know what he's saying? He said, that which crooked cannot be made straight. And 58, verse 3 there, mother. E, what is Almighty saying in 58, verse 3 of Psalms about what that been made crooked cannot be made straight? What he said we can read in Psalm 58, verse 3.
Psalm chapter 58, verse 3. Psalm 58, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they eat bone. He can laugh.
You hear that, mother? They make promise to you knowing they lying from the womb. It ain't a promise that he ever kept for you, because Yahweh is not going to lie to him to fulfill any promise with you, because Yahweh is the one mad at you for breaking his covenant.
Mm-hmm.
You celebrate more what the world has put together, and you don't celebrate nothing. Nothing. You keep the Sabbath day. You don't wear prejudice. You don't keep the feast days. You don't call the way the Bible tells you to call it. Yahweh is not going to intervene, you right? Until you come back. And that's why what got to happen, mother, in Psalms 85, verse 11, what got to happen that we can read? And Brother Micaiah, hold up that Haggai for a minute and give me Isaiah 62, verse 1, 5 through 12. Have that waiting on me. Have me Isaiah 62, verse 1, 5 through 12. Have that waiting on me. Then swing down to Ezekiel chapter 3, 17 through 21. And Mother D of Israel, have me Ecclesiastes 33, 1 through 11. Then we're going to bring in Mother Z to address this national audience after Mother E tells us about what got to happen that is going on right now in 85, verse 11 of Psalms. Hey, Mother E, what's going on in Psalms 85, verse 11 that got to happen? Come on.
The book of Psalms, chapter 85, verse 11. Truly, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
So truth got to spring down from the earth, and righteousness from heaven going to look down and help push it on. See, somebody got to start telling the truth about everything we're doing is out of order. Our relationships is out of order. How we conduct everything is out of order. And we got more of our kinfolks now doing everything contrary. And it's a dreadful thing that's going to happen tonight when it gets darker. They're going to come, and they're going to be doing everything they can to blow up something tonight. See? But anything out of the Bible, we do the Malachi 1:13. We snuff at it. But what do you say, Brother Micaiah, that we can read in Isaiah 62, verse 1, 5 down to verse 12? What can we read there, Brother Micaiah?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 62, verse 5, verse 1, 5 down to 12. Verse 1 reads, "For Yahdah Judah's sake, will I not hold my peace. For Yahdah Judah's sake, I will not rest until the righteous thereof go forth as bright, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth." Verse 5 down to 12. 5 reads, "For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall Yahweh rejoice over you." Verse 6, "I have set watchmen upon your wall, O Yahdah Judah, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. You then make mention of Yahweh, keep not silent." Verse 7, "And give him no rest till he establish, until he make Yahdah Judah a praise in the earth." verse 8. Yahweh has sworn by his right hand, by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give your corn to the meat for your enemies, and the sons of the strangers shall not drink your wine, for the which you have labored. Verse 9. But they that have gathered it shall eat and praise Yahweh, and they that have bought it together shall drink it in the court of my righteousness. Verse 10. Go through the gate. Prepare you the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Verse 11. Behold, Yahweh hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say you to the daughter of Yadadjud, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Verse 12. And they shall call them, the righteous people, the redeemed of Yahweh. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken.
Read verse 11 again.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 62, verse 7. Verse 7 reads, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Yadadjudah a praise of the earth.
All right. I'm looking for a verse. Come back to verse 10. Nick. I'm looking for a verse. He says something. Read verse 10. He says something. I need to hear that again. What do you say in verse 10?
Okay, 10. Verse 10. Go through.
Yeah, verse 10. What do you say in verse 10?
Okay. The book of Isaiah, chapter 62, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, Go through the gate. Prepare you the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people.
He says, he said, gather out the stones, see right here. That's the ones that thinking like they're holding onto the rope, and they not. They have to be revealed. He said, hold up a standard to the people. The standard is the Bible. You got to look in this Bible and see what the Bible's saying and see who's performing what the Bible's saying. That would mean by hold up the standard. That's the Bible. You got to make your decision according to the Bible. Because then once you make your decision according to the Bible, then the stones that you see that's a calf, they will reveal themselves to you. It's up to you to make an adjustment on a calf. And when you recognize a terror in Brother Micaiah 27:12, this is how you respond to a terror in your midst. So what? 27 verse 12.
To the book of Sirach, chapter 27, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, if you be among the indiscreet, observe the time, but be continually among men of understanding.
You see that? You see what we do? So now, in Jeremiah 30, there are Brother Micaiah, verse number 4, 15 down to verse 17. And Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 4, 15 to 17 says what?
Okay. Going to the book of Jeremiah. Chapter 30, verse 4, 15 down to 17. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 30, verse 4 reads, and these are the words that Yahweh spake concerning Israel, concerning Yadadjudah. Verse 5, for thus says Yahweh, verse 15. Why cry you for your affliction? Your sorrow is in curable for the multitude of your sins. Because your sins were increased, I have done these things unto you. Verse 16. Therefore all they that devour you shall be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, And they that spoil you shall be a spoil. And all that prey upon you will I give for a prey. Verse 17. For I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wounds, says Yahweh. Because they called you an outcast, then this is Yadaju, whom no man seeketh after.
You see that? He said, but listen. He said, I'm the one going to, I can hear you. What you have did is uncurable. But he can get you back together. But you've got to pay attention on what this man is saying. And you got to watch the ones that they're not, I got to pull a rabbit out of here. See, in the book of Michael, you got to tell him what I'm saying. And you know, this lesson here is coming just from the way Yahweh wanted to become, you know. Because one thing about it, we study looking for things that happen, but Yahweh made it plain in the book of Michael. He says something that we can read in Michael chapter 2, Brother Micaiah. What he says in Michael chapter 2, verse number 7 and 8. Michael chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. This is what he says here in 7 and verse 8.
The book of Micah, chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 reads, O you that are named the nation of Israel, is the spirit of Yahweh straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to them, to him that walk uprightly? Verse 8, even of late my people is risen up as an enemy. You pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely as men, adverse from war.
You know the man saying? He said, isn't my way straightened? He said, you got a problem with everything I got on the table, and those that I put together to show you this is the way. Go back to Isaiah 30 there. And Mother D.F. Israel, have me Ezekiel 3:17, verse 21 and 33, 1 through 11, waiting on me. Now, what I said, go to Young Lion. I call, so, yeah,
okay,
go to the child. Thank you, Young Lion. Yes, sir. What it say in verse 20 and 21?
Okay, the book of Isaiah 30, verses 20 and verse 21. Verse 20 reads, and though Yahweh give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Verse 21, and your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk you in it. When you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left.
And where are you going to find all that at in verse 8? 30 verse 8. Where's all that going to be at in verse 8?
In the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 8. Verse 8 reads, now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever.
We're reading unto you. This is written in the book. We're trying to tell you this is the way. The way that you're hearing it from the six anointed camps. This is the way. But you got to walk in this way. Mother D.F. Israel, what does it say that we can read, Mother D.F. Israel? And Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 to 21, then just go right on down to 33, and read 1 through 11. What did it say to that mother? You on the clock, Mother D of Israel, come out.
You say Ezekiel chapter 3:17 to 21.
Down to 21, yes, ma'am. Then just group, go right on down to 33, 1 through 11, and keep going.
It only go up to 27. Ezekiel chapter 20.
We're down to 33:1-11. Hold on, Mother D.F. Israel. Right now, just give me Ezekiel 3:17-21. Then once you get through with that, go to Ezekiel 33:11. Write it down and take off. Come on.
Okay. Ezekiel chapter 3:17-21. Verse 17. Son of man, I have made you a watchman unto the family of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Verse 18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his sin, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Verse 19, yet if thou warnest the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his sins, but thou hast delivered yourself. Verse 21. Again, 20. Again, when a righteous man do turn from his righteousness and commit sin, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. 21. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he do not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered your soul.
Mm-hmm. 33:1-11, and next up will be Mother Z, addressing his national audience. Come on.
Ezekiel 33:1-11. Verse 1. Again, the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, verse 2, son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. Verse 3. If when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blows the trumpet and warns the people. Verse 4. Then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword comes and take him away, this blood shall be upon his own head. Verse 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Verse 6. But if the watchman sees the sword come and bloweth not the trumpet, the people be not warned. If the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his sin, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set you a watchman unto the family of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Verse 8. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou doest not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die, in his sin, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Verse 9, nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way and turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his sin, but thou hast delivered your soul. Verse 10, therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the family of Israel. Thus you speak, saying, if our transgressions, our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? Verse 11, say unto them, as I live, says Yahweh, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil way. For why will you die, O family of Israel?
Praise God. And see, we come on this network to let you know, children of the book. Everything you're doing is wicked in your mindset because you don't recognize the signs of the time. Turn from your wicked ways and get in order behind the six anointed camps of Voices of a True Israelite. Tell you exactly. Now, Mother E, we gonna bring in Mother Z, and she's going to address this national audience. So now when you meet Mother Z out of Camp 1, she's ready to address this national audience over 500,000 plus. The world is listening. But Mother E always have something to tell the national audience about. Get your act together. Take heed to the message I'm getting ready to bring to you and apply it. Mother E, tribe of Yahdah Judah. Yahweh beat you that sea royal.
He said Mother E. I don't know who he's talking to.
Mother Z, tribe of Yahdah Judah. It's time for you to address this national audience and they all ears, all over the world. 500,000 plus, Mother Z. So now what you want to tell this national audience, you on the clock. Take your time and come out.
I would just like to read for the national audience tonight. I'm going to read in Acts chapter 3, verse 25. Acts chapter 3, verse 25. Acts chapter 3, verse 25. Ye are the children of the promise and of the covenant which Yahweh made with our father, saith unto Abraham, and in their seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Verse 26, Unto you first, Yahweh has raised up his son Yahweh, sending him to bless you in trouble, in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. And and I'm going to go back up to verse 19. It reads, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Yahweh, and he shall send Yahweh the Son, which before was taught unto you. Verse 21. Who the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things which Yahweh has spoken by the mouth of all his righteous seers since the world began. Verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the Father a prophet shall the Yahweh, your Yahweh, raise up unto you from your brethren like unto me. Him shall he hear in all things whatsoever he said, he shall say unto you. Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that seal shall be destroyed from among the people. Verse 24, he and all the seals from so as much and thus and these that follow and those that follow after as many as have spoken have likewise foretold of this day. Verse 25, ye are the children of the seals, and ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which Yahweh made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. And I would just like to leave that with the national audience tonight, that the promise is made to the children, the family of Israel, and say, hallelujah, Yahweh, hallelujah, Yahweh, hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. That's excellent, Mother Z. See, one thing about it, when the time comes to bat, you ready to swing. And see, we got a lot of them that sit on the sideline. And one thing about it, you got the spirit to step up and make it happen. That's a great thing. Mother E, let's see how to sum up what she has written, read to this national audience. Let's see how to sum this up. Let's go to Psalms 103, verse 7 there, Mother E. 103, verse 7 says what? Mother E, 103, verse 7, what it say?
Okay, Psalms 103, verse 7. Let me get that there.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 103. What's that?
103, verse 7, what it say?
Book of Psalms 103, verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel.
See, the Almighty, we got plenty, but he didn't give us the 4th of July, Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, when the gate closed. He didn't give us that. He gave us a dress code, fringes. He showed us how to get in order. This act is to the children of Israel, but we won't apply none of it. Let's run to our Psalms 146, verse 8 there, Mother E. 146, verse 8. And he got the power to do this that we can read. 146, verse 8. What does it say?
Okay. Psalm 146.
Yeah, verse 8.
Psalm 146, verse 8. Psalm 146, verse 8. The Yahweh opened the eyes of the blind. The Yahweh raises them that are bowed down. The Yahweh loves righteousness.
So it takes Yahweh to open up the eyes of the blind.
Mm-hmm.
And how Yahweh going to do that, Mother E? How is he going to open up the eyes of the blind? Is he going to, what are he going to do that we can read? Or how he opened up the eyes of the blind in 29:18 of the book called Isaiah. Let's see how Yahweh can open up the eyes of the blind.
Isaiah 29:18. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see. Out of darkness.
Yeah, Mother? So it got to be a ministry for Yahweh to open up your eyes according to 29, verse 18. What they got to hear, Mother E?
The words of the book.
They got to hear the book. What we make it, Mother E. They got to hear the book. We got to give them the book. The recipe of where we going and where we been, put that to the side. The recipe to help those that's blind, like they blind on the 4th of July, and they telling you, happy 4th of July. That's blind leading the blind, and when the blind leads the blind, what gonna happen that we can read, Mother, and 14:14, make it Matthew's. What happens when somebody walk up to you and tell you happy 4th of July? And according to the book of Matthew, this is what happens, Mother. In the 15th chapter, verse 14. What happened that we can read in Matthew's chapter 15, verse 14?
The book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 14. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch.
So when we got phone calls about what you're going to do on the 4th of July, that is a death day in our mind to what happened to our people. That's a mourning date for us. And we got our loved ones going to celebrate on the 4th of July of us getting our back beat, killed, ran over, manipulated. Now we're supposed to make our joyful day out of that. That's why I say we got to come, Mother. And the only thing going to help them is the book. Give me Isaiah 61:1-3 in a closing statement. Give me Isaiah 61:1-3 in a closing statement. Mother D.F. Israel, have me Psalms 81:8-16. Now, Mother E. What it says in 61:1-3 in the closing statement, you on the clock of Isaiah, come on.
Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1, 2, and 3. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. For Zion's sake will I not Isaiah 61, verse 1. The spirit of the Yahweh is upon me, because the Yahweh has anointed me to teach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the broken mind, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh and the day of vengeance of our Yahweh, to come forth all that mourn. Verse 3, to open unto him that mourn in Yahweh Judah, to give unto them beauty for ashes and all of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Yahweh, that he might be glorified. The planning of the Yahweh, that he might be glorified. Amen.
So he says, we got to open up the blind eyes, bring them out of prison in the brain. We got a lot of things to do. And all we're going to be able to do it, Mother Eve, with this book. We got to give them some book and nothing but the book. So we'll leave it like that, Mother Eve. And now you can go and give a closing statement to this national audience. You're on the clock. Come on.
Thank you, praising Yahweh for this class. Thank you, praising Yahweh for this field. And just thanking and praising Yahweh for each and every one that's listening. You know, said to the class, so hold on and don't give up. And Yahweh gets the answer. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
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 Excellent. Hold on and don't give up. That was Mother E say. Hold on and don't give up. Your only answer is through the pages of the Bible. You must be taught right. Because if you're taught right, according to Mother D of Israel in Psalms 81, 8 through 16, look what he got written. If we taught right and apply what we can read. Let's see what we can read, Mother, in the closing statement in Psalms 81, 8 through 16, the closing statement of Mother E. Mother D of Israel. Psalm 81. Verse 8 to 16, Mother D.F. Israel, in a closing statement, you're on the clock, come out.
Psalms 81, verses 8 through 16, verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto you, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken, listen unto me. Verse 9. There shall no strange Yahwehs be in thee. Neither shall thou worship any strange Yahweh. Verse 10, I am Yahweh, your Yahweh, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Verse 11, my people would not listen to my voice, and Israel would none of me. Verse 12, so I gave them up unto their own man, lust, and they walked in their own counsel. 13, oh, that my people had hearkened, listened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. 14, I should soon have subdued their enemy and turned my hand against their adversary. Verse 15, the haters of Yahweh should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. Verse 16, he should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat. and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied you.
Well, wait a minute. That's real good. I got to get a preacher about that. So he's saying, you know, the problem that you have, Israel, because you just won't do what I got written in this Bible. He said, I don't take care of your enemies. I've done them some serious damage on them, but you won't do right. Look what he says in the 18th chapter, Mother D. of Israel, closing statement, 18. Pick it up verse 3 down. Pick it down, 6 down to verse 8. Luke 18, 6 down to verse 8 in a closing statement. And we'll get back on it again tomorrow at 6 p.m. Luke chapter 18, 6 down to verse 8. Mother D. F. Israel, you on the clock, come up.
Luke chapter 18, verse 6 to 8. Verse 6. Luke 18, verse 6. And Yahweh said, hear what the unjust judge said. Verse 7. And shall not Yahweh avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find the covenant on the earth?
You know what I'm saying? He said, I'm going to take care of him, but if I can today, how will I catch you? I'll probably catch you over at your relative barbecue. Barbecuing up and trying to get a plate. That's how you're going to catch you. Well, I'll tell you what, I ain't going to celebrate, but I'm coming to get me a plate. That's blood. That's a blood mindset. You don't have no dealings with that at all. That is, it's like telling those at the 911 when that thing fell on their head and everything happened to the majority of them, let's go and get a plate behind that. It's, man, I can have a plate behind this. I lost my loved ones. We ain't like them other folks. They celebrate getting their back beat. Mother D of Israel, what's your closing statement behind that? Come on.
Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 30 to 33, hopefully. Here goes. Also thou son of man, the children of your people still are talking against you by the walls and in the doors of the house and speaking one another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from Yahweh. 31. And they come unto you as the people cometh, and they sat before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their mind goes after their covetousness. 32. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your word, but they do them not. Verse 33. And when this come to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a seer has been among them. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, soon later, they're going to recognize the time, but the WCC just said, you know, seer, we understand what you're saying, but I'll tell you what we're going to do. We can't deal with you this book. We're just going to mute the young lion where he ain't coming back and talking no more in this lesson. We're going to mute him. Well, one thing about it, prerogative. So, Mother D. of Israel, we got to take it on in because the young line has been muted off the broadcast.
Let's run to Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 4. Jeremiah 40, verse 4, let's do this way.
All right. Jeremiah 40. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 4. And now, behold, I loose you this day from the chain which were upon thine hand. If it seem good unto you to come with me unto Babylon, come, and I will look well unto you. But if it seems ill unto you to come with me unto Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before you. Whether it seems good,
he said,
and
go ahead.
And convenience.
That's good.
For, okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
For you
okay,
to go.
Saying, the land is before you. That's good enough, Moses. The land is before you. Give me Isaiah 55, verse 6. He said, the land is before you. Now, the land is before us, see right here. We got to step into the plate and secure the land. The land is before us, so we got to secure the land before us. And we have to go a little bit further on what we got to do. We must establish our own land, school, banquet hall, so contribute to this ministry. You know how to use the PayPal. You know how to get in contact or whatever. Remember one thing. We got to secure the land that before us, and the building funding must start. So we got to contribute to what we got to do for our people. The land is south, north, east, west. We must get the land, secure the land, and build on the land. Step to the plate and contribute to this ministry. Well, just whatever way words you want to use it, contribute to it, free will offering, donation, whatever word, alms, whatever word fits you, the land is before us. We must secure the land, get the land for Yahuwah to give us a double. You got it? So in Isaiah 56, verse number 6 says what there, Mother D.F. Israel? What do you say that we can read? In Isaiah 56, verse 6.
Isaiah chapter 56, verse 6. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to Yahuwah to serve him and to love the name of Yahuwah, to be his servant, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and taking hold on my covenant.
Now back up to 55. That sounds great, but evidently I'm missing my hit. I mean, that's good stuff you read. But in 55, verse 6, can you try one more time? Isaiah 55, verse 6, one more time.
Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek you, Yahuwah, while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near.
You see that? You tell him to seek Yahuwah while you can be found. See, right here.
Mm-hmm.
We come humble. We're telling you what we got to do. We must establish our own.
Mm-hmm.
We must be able to go to our own garden and get what we need. Why are we going to wait till a lemon costs us $10? Then we're going to make our move. Let's run to Haggai chapter 2, and pick up at verse 2. We're going to Haggai 2, and we'll just read down a little bit until we get our point. And we'll come back again tomorrow at 6 p.m. We're going to Haggai out there, Mother D.F. Israel. Understand one thing. Land before us. Contribute to this ministry. Let's secure the lands that before us. Free will offering, donation, whatever it is. It's for the build of our nation, have our own. Think about it. Look what it says in Haggai chapter 2, verse 2.
Let's read down a bit, Mother. Verse 2 down to verse 14, then we'll back away from it. Haggai, chapter 2, verse 2. Start right there and come on.
I know. I can't never find Haggai. What Haggai by?
Haggai is written next to Zephaniah. It's written next to Zephaniah. It's written past Rebecca.
Okay.
It's written before you get to Zechariah. If you find Zechariah, just back up. You read it, Haggai. If you find Matthew, Zechariah, Malachi, Haggai, right there waiting on you. 2:1.
Wait a minute. Okay, fine. That's a buck.
Fine, Zechariah.
I got it. See ya.
All right, come
you
on.
Say,
all right, good enough. Pick it up at verse number 2. Let's read a little bit.
Okay. Haggai chapter 2, verse 2. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of governor of Yagda, and to Joshua, the son of the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, verse 3, who is left among you that saw this house, this temple, and in her first glory? And now do as you see it now? It is not
no,
in
you,
your
no, eyes. No, you don't see nothing. No, we don't see nothing now. You know why I don't see it now? Because, like I said again, we tied up and taken them. Skip down to verse number 7.
Haggai chapter 2, verse 7. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this temple with honor, says Yahweh of hosts.
Verse 9.
The honor of this latter temple shall be greater than of the former, says Yahweh of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, says Yahweh of hosts.
And guess what? He'll give peace. We're going to read it for you. He's going to say, could anything good come out of Nazareth? And we're going to tell you, come and see. Skip down to verse number 13, and let's get a little bit more in verse 13.
Haggai chapter 2, verse 13. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said,
I'm all out of order everywhere, Mother. I see why we fumbling all around. Back up to Haggai chapter 1. And let's look at 2 down to verse 4. 1, 2 down to verse 4.
Haggai chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Verse 2. Thus spake Yahweh of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that Yahweh's temple should be built. Verse 3. Then came the word of Yahweh by Haggai the seer, saying, verse 4. It is time for you, O you, to dwell in your selected houses, and this temple lie waste.
Verse 5.
Now therefore, thus says Yahweh of hosts, consider your ways.
Verse 12 to 14. See, he said, consider your ways now. 12 to 14. Now listen, he's telling you, look here. The land before you, for you. You just got to contribute and donate, and let's get it going on. He said, I consider your ways. You're going to continue to do the world thing, or you're going to build up your own nation on the what is open for us to do. Consider your ways. Roll your sleeves up. Let's get the job done. Donate to the ministry and watch what happens for you if you do the right thing. 12 through 14, come on.
Haggai chapter 1, verse 12 and 14, verse 12. Then Jerubbaal, son of Shimlai, and Joshua, the son of Jedaiah, somebody, the high priest, with all the remnant of the peoples, obeyed the voice of Yahuwah, their Yahuwah, and the words of Haggai the seer, as Yahuwah, their Yahuwah, has sent him. And the people did fear before Yahuwah. Verse 13. Then spake Haggai, Yahuwah's messenger, and Yahuwah's messenger unto the people, saying, I am with you, says Yahuwah. Verse 14. And Yahuwah stirred up the spirit of Jerusalem, the son of Shalom, somebody, governor of Yagda, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jedaiah, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the temple of Yahuwah of hosts, their Yahuwah. That's why I stirred up the spirit.
See, your spirit got to be stirred up to want to get in and let's get the job done.
Yeah.
The man's report. We got to roll our sleeves up and donate to this ministry, secure the land on four corners. Secure the land and start building what Yahuwah said. I'm with you. All we got to do is step to the plate. All we got to do is step to the plate, C-Ray. It's before it's time for us to have our own. Before you have to pay $10 for a lemon, which is going to happen. Now, I think we'll get one more in, Mother D.F. Israel. So I'll let you got something to say. If you got something to say, we'll leave it like that. So what you got to say behind what you heard so far tonight? You're on the clock. Come on.
Well, we just got to be doers, and like Mother say, hold on and do the word of Yahuwah.
We got to be doers, we got to hold on, and we got to apply to this word. The land before us, we got to be doers, and we got to roll our sleeves up and get the job done.
Yeah.
Contribute, donate to this ministry. We got to secure all the land that before came on. For what reason? For our sons and daughters to understand one thing. We need a place to call our own. We need our own land, school, banquet hall, radio station. We need our own. Yahuwah will give us the 61. He'll give us this, Mother. Hey, Mother D up Israel, this is what he'll give us if we do right. If we step into the plate and go and do Yahuwah's will, he'll give us Isaiah 61, verse number, this is what he'll give us that we can read, 61, verse 7. And we'll leave it like that. 61, verse 7 of Isaiah. What will Yahuwah do?
Isaiah chapter 61, verse 7. For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion you shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them.
Read verse 8, and we'll leave it like that. Read verse 8, but what Yahuwah don't like? Okay.
Verse 8, for I, Yahuwah, love judgment. I hate robbery. for a burnt offering, and I will direct their works in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them.
You see, that's me right here. And what we're doing now is robbery. We buying into something called a 4th of July, and that ain't nothing but a death sentence on us told by the biggest liars that ever was made on the planet, the sinners of Esau, plainly saying the white man and the white woman. We'll leave it like that until tomorrow, and we'll come back tomorrow, and we'll get back to what we're on. The greatest liars is the one that's giving you 4th of July and telling you, celebrate, getting your back beat in. Soul as slaves. We'll leave it like that. Keep talking, Sierra. No, I ain't going to talk no more. All right, WCC, we ain't going to talk no more. Yahweh be with you all. And we'll catch you everybody tomorrow at 6 p.m. Don't think about it, Sierra. The 4th of July have nothing to do with you, but you getting your back beat in. So is you going to wake up and smell the coffee, or are you going to continue down the road that you're on right now? You. But we come humble to tell you one thing. It's time to come back to this book and understand the 4th of July is nothing but a beat your back. And when your relatives tell you about come celebrate or get a plate, that is not right in Yahweh. Keep talking, Seer. We're going to catch you in something. No?
Hallelujah.
Stop talking. One thing about it. We up on you. We know what you're about. And we'll deal with you tomorrow. All right, that's enough said. So Mother D up Israel, from all the mothers, from Young Lions and everybody, we'll catch you all tomorrow for some more of BOTTY. Got it? Good.
Yeah.